listening to Vet Candy.
I'm Dr. Courtney.
And I'm Dr. Jen.
And I'm Dr. Jason.
And welcome to Vet Candy Pop. We are going to talk about some really awesome trending topics today, and I want to make this show special.
This show is sponsored by the Animal Eye Institute.
I want this show. Okay, I know. I'm getting a little sentimental. Aww. I actually want this particular episode to come from the heart. I do. I want it to come from the heart. I want it to be a little bit sentimental. But so here's what we're going to talk about today. I want to talk about three things. You guys let me know if it's okay. I want to talk about veterinary dating. How do you do that? I want to talk about relationship. And just to throw a curveball in there, I want to hit heartworm disease. Because that's from the heart, technically.
It's from the heart.
Heartworm disease. Okay. I got you.
All right. You see
I'm
the connection.
I'm picking up what you're putting down there, buddy. Right.
It's a broken heart.
Wow, that was good.
I like that.
All right.
We gotta give you credit for that.
Rimshot.
All right, so right off the bat, I'm in the hospital. I'm talking to some of the veterinary nurses.
Are you working in the hospital?
I'm setting the scene. Everybody go there with me, please.
Gotcha.
We're in the hospital.
Hold on.
Okay, close your eyes and imagine this.
I got it.
You're in the hospital. You're practicing medicine wherever you are. Whatever setting you're practicing as a veterinarian, whether you're a researcher, you're in a clinical environment, and one of your co-workers, web nurses, comes up to you and says, "Hey, I am struggling. I want to start dating, but I've been working here way too long." How does somebody date in a veterinary environment, whether you're a doctor, a nurse, paraprofessional? How do you do it? How does one tackle that?
It's gonna be crickets.
I'm
telling you right now,
asking the wrong people. Am I asking the wrong people?
No, you're not asking the wrong people. You can ask anybody in the profession, they're gonna have the same response.
It's hard.
You're asking me that?
How does that happen? But I don't think it's particular to the veterinary field. I think any field where you have young professionals who are driven, well educated, and now we learned how to do the magic, they're working long hours. They're very focused. Because you remember when you came out of school?
Sure.
And it took a lot of juice out of you for the day. It was so long ago for you.
I know, it's a long time ago.
And what do you have left at the end of the day?
Right. Now, listen, I think you're right. It is no profession, no industry is immune to that. But I think it's particularly...
Is that a pun?
Exactly. But I don't think it's particularly... I think there's some particular interest among healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
Because healthcare professionals... Obviously, I'm referencing veterinarians, but everybody on the healthcare field tends to put other people ahead of themselves.
Oh, sure.
Because they dedicate themselves and their lives towards, in this case, improving the lives of pets and people every day.
Sure.
And their love life or romantic life kind of gets a backseat.
It does.
In fact, I was just referencing a survey. They found that 52% of women would choose relationships over their careers, and 62% of guys would choose relationships over their careers.
Which surprised me a little. What does that mean? They'd rather be in a good relationship?
They'd rather have a good career? Well, if they have to make a tough choice between having a good relationship or pursuing a career goal, they would pick a relationship.
And men would choose that more than women?
Yeah, which surprised me a little bit. Is that what you guys are seeing just out in everyday life? That people are saying, "Hey, listen, I enjoy what I do for a living, but I would rather find somebody great."
I think it's to some degree age-related.
Okay.
And generational.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I do think that the younger generation, the millennials.
Okay.
I do think that nothing is true for 100% of a group, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not saying that. Don't crush me on the internet. Like, I'm not saying it's 100% true. But I do think that as a generation, that generation tends to make that relationship choice more so than a career or a job choice.
Sure. And not only that, is that they found 6% of women wanted to do the asking when it came to dating. They wanted to ask them. That means 6%. That means 94% of women, according to this survey, would prefer to be asked. I gotta ask the authority.
As the woman.
I gotta ask the authority. Help us out with that. Would you say, just in your experience in your life, that's pretty much true?
Yes.
Okay.
One would think with all the new trends and all this kind of stuff, that number would be higher. 6% is what I would have guessed, you know, 20 years ago, because that's what the typical roles are.
Right.
But we have some kind of role switching, rolling around, going around, kind of going like this. I would have thought that number would be much, much closer to 20% of the women. Doesn't matter to them, right?
One last thing. For anybody who's, you know, checking us out right now, just thinking about this.
Yeah.
Is there any tips or tricks you guys just have in everyday life as veterinarians? How did you get through that dating role? Or you got nothing. What do you guys have? Anything in there? Come on, at least some tips or tricks on how somebody could actually date. Okay, let's see.
Because you guys know I'm not the most successful in every aspect of my life. However, I will say, I think you should think long and hard before you date somebody you work with.
Okay, there you go.
But I also said the same thing when I was in vet school, is that you should think long and hard before you date someone in your class.
Okay.
Listen, they actually got up, and maybe this is because of your class, I'm not sure, but they actually got up and on the, maybe it happens everywhere, I don't know, on the third day of vet school here are some rules that you must, these aren't guidelines, these are rules.
Right.
Do not date another veterinary student.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you must date a veterinary student, do not, under any circumstances, date a veterinary student from your own class.
Okay. Okay.
They laid that down.
And what did you think of those rules?
I thought they were great. I broke them all I normally do.
All right.
But within our class, we had, I mean, I don't know why we're talking about this, but mm-hmm. but I guess we're trying to avoid the whole dating scene. It's just a bunch of people with the same likes and interests going dating. And we had like 7 couples get married or some kind of.
Of course. And that's, sure a lot that's of my point. The same way. In that, of course, I think your advice is right. Don't date somebody in your own class. Don't.
So are you pointing to me?
No, but I like your advice. Yeah. I like your advice.
I thought you said mine was right.
Yours was right. But I will say this, so many people find amazing love in where they work.
Well, because it's where you spend all of your time.
But let's say this. Let's say you're successful. Let's say you're successful in dating and you find a relationship. Now, you're in a very successful relationship.
Yeah.
What are some secrets to maintaining a successful relationship while being active, busy veterinarians?
It's not rocket science.
Okay, let's hear it then.
I don't think
it's
unique to veterinarians either.
Oh yeah, anybody, of course, anybody.
No, certainly not. She was being quiet, and so I have to kind of pipe in here a little bit. I think the only real secret is to value whoever you're dating, your partner, whatever, value what they value.
Yes.
Show some interest, and it has to be a two-way street, right?
I love that.
And so you just have to communicate and talk, and that sounds really sappy. I get it.
No.
But it's true. It's 100% true.
No, it doesn't sound sappy.
I don't even look at her face. She's like, whatever.
To me, it sounds effective. It sounds effective, man. Everybody, both partners on the same page, endorsing each other's journey and pursuits. What do you think?
So I will ask the two gentlemen.
Okay.
How do you assure that both of you are on the same page? How does that happen?
I think he said it best.
Wait, what is
he
it?
Said
what is
clear,
it?
Effective communication.
Oh my goodness! Clear, effective communication in a relationship?
Yes, you don't think that exists?
Are those magic fingers?
Yes, they are. Jazz hands? Are these doing the jazz
because
hands?
Because you know why? Because...
Why?
In my worldly experience, gentlemen seem to struggle with communication about relationships.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so I do think it's interesting that each of you recognize that's the
thing. As I say, not as I do here on Big Crazy Pop. Come on, it's not as I do.
We're coaches on the field. We don't play the
games. Got it.
Any other secrets that we might have? I would definitely say, besides clear and effective communication, it's just trusting one another. I think that's really big in relationship. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Of course.
Okay, but...
Well, I mean, you can't have a relationship without
that's
trust.
Tricky.
It's going to last like 2 seconds, right?
That's tricky. Yeah.
Why is it tricky? What?
Yeah, it's...
Because it's hard. It's hard in this day and age to, you know, build that trust. It takes
hard
time.
And tricky are different. It's very hard.
Yeah.
It's very, very hard.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
The trust is a main factor, particularly because the pet health industry, veterinary setting, is so mixed that it's important that you can trust who you are dating or who you're in a relationship with, because at your job, everybody's there.
So this is all very interesting, fellas.
Yes, but why are we talking about this?
Why are we talking about
such
this?
Such a good point. I mean, we've got experts for this, right?
Yes, we do.
So let's talk to an expert. If you want to hear a little bit more on someone who's helping dog lovers find that romantic connection, check this out.
is my favorite story. So my sister is actually my co-founder, my sister Casey. And she was dating a guy up in New York who tried to be a dog person for her. But by the end of the relationship, he didn't want the dog in his apartment, or he'd put towels and blankets down on the couch so the dog didn't touch anything. And you know dogs. She has a Cavapoo. This is a Cavalier Spaniel Poodle mix. It most closely resembles a teddy bear, right? Like, if you're not a dog person, most people still like this dog. Right. And he couldn't incorporate it into his life. And it was affecting so much of her life and their relationship. We were able to create the beautiful app, and we knew we'd be able to get the word out about it and really focus on the dog community and what dog people are really looking for. When we first launched the dating app, you know, most dating apps really cater to kind of 18 to 25. But as soon as we launched, we found that our highest demographic by far is much closer to 30, 35, 40. It's people who really understand themselves, understand the type of life they want and who they're really looking for. And it also most closely matches with when you're getting your first dog and you have a little bit more time or maybe a little bit more income to spend it on someone besides yourself, right? And one thing I do want to point out, you don't have to have a dog to be on Digg. About a third of our users don't have a dog yet. They're looking to date someone with a dog or get a dog with someone in the future. I don't want this to feel like I'm trying to beat an algorithm. I want to actually see people. And not only do we slow you down from not swiping, but there's a ton of dog photos on there. So you're going to want to stop and learn a little bit more about that person.
So we had a chance to talk a little bit about dating, a little bit about relationship secrets, but I got to nerd out just a little bit here.
Shocker.
I know.
You don't have to, but we will allow it.
You'll indulge me. Okay. The Companion Animal Parasite Council,
Capsy,
just came out with a top 10 cities list for heartworm disease.
They did.
And I have a feeling some of this is going to surprise
you. Top 10 cities. In terms of the prevalence in those cities?
Heartworm disease prevalence.
Or they wouldn't count all the microfilaria in
each city. No. How often are they seeing heartworm disease in these cities?
Yes.
And got it.
And I think, like I said, it's going to surprise some people. Mm-hmm. Number three. What's number three?
I know number three.
All right.
So it is in the tropical paradise, the panhandle of Texas.
Yeah, always using the same sentence. Yeah. Tropical paradise, panhandle of Texas,
yeah.
For sure.
Have you guys been there?
Of course I've been there. Who hasn't been there?
The panhandle of Texas.
I have not.
What?
Oh.
You're missing out, buddy.
I know. That's on my list.
It is the metropolis of Amarillo, Texas.
Amarillo, Texas, number three.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Which is odd, because if you've ever been there, mm-hmm. you have to close your windows and seal them tight.
Yes.
Because of the dust that comes in.
Yes.
This is really important to talk about.
That's his point. But we'll
no, that's really important. Number two, I'll grab number two. Yep. Number two is Stockton, California.
Do you know anything about Stockton?
Where is it? Some of my favorite fighters are from Stockton, California.
Fighters, mixed martial artists.
A few of my favorite athletes. But they're actually combat athletes. Some of my favorite combat athletes are from Stockton. I've never visited Stockton, California, but I know some people whose family is from Stockton.
There you go.
Yeah, so of course. We're leaving everybody in suspense, but what was number one?
Number one.
Drum roll, please.
I know it is. Okay. I know nothing about this place.
Okay.
Absolutely not, other than this fact now, it is the number one most prevalent city. City that has the most prevalence of heartworm disease. It is Cincinnati, Ohio.
Wait a minute. It's not Georgia or Florida or
Louisiana. None of that. No.
It's Cincinnati, Ohio.
Let's think about why that would be.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of stuff to talk about with that.
Right, because everybody's thinking, okay, southeastern United States, hotbed of heartworm disease because of the moisture, the mosquitoes.
Well, look at Amarillo.
Right.
Amarillo, Texas. So
it's like the big lake in Amarillo, right?
You would have to have water.
Yeah.
Or at least a prevalent annual rainfall.
Sure. So why do you guys think this is the case?
Why do I think it's not one of those other cities?
Yeah, why do I think it's not one of those other cities?
Well, it is weird. I mean, it's sort of counterintuitive that it is not one of those other
cities. I think that people in those areas, I think that heartworm awareness is much more prevalent.
Yes.
Yeah.
If I can say that.
You can say that.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Awareness.
Yeah.
Awareness.
And I think it's routine for people to really commit to year-round heartworm prevention for their pets, as you should.
Excellent point. Year-round testing, once-a-year testing, year-round prevention, and also recognizing that for the past 5 years, heartworm disease prevalence has risen steadily each year, and it's up 20% from 2013. So I can't...
Crazy people from Amarillo.
Terrible. Exactly. You only take care of your pets.
Exactly. So I can't emphasize enough. Just because people move around a lot. People are doing really incredible work rescuing dogs from disaster zones like hurricanes and bringing them to different places in the country. And when you do that, sometimes...
You bring the disease.
You bring the disease. So I think the takeaway here is... heartworm prevention, year-round, and testing. That's really important.
100%.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. Well, hey, guys, thanks for joining me with this episode because it all came from the heart.
Yes, it did. We learned a little bit about Dr. Courtney.
Just a little bit. I'm a little sensitive. I'm a teddy bear inside. Please join us next time for the next episode of
Vet Candy Pop.
Pet Candy, it's Pet Candy Radio.